We're going to go straight into the word now. My name is Sam. I am one of the oversight team members here, and it's my privilege to bring the word to us today. We had Fred last week. Fred is also on our team as well. Where is he? I've seen him. Yep, he's here. We have Harry, who's also looking quite smart and dapper this morning. Where is he gone? Is he around? He's probably out the back somewhere. Obviously, I have Humphreys down here. Chikondi is with us next week as well. She's going to bring us the word. We're excited about that. And we are the group that a group of imperfect members like us all, but we're focusing ourselves on a perfect Savior who is transforming us. But we are focused on guiding people to our mission, which is bringing upcoming generations to Christ for transformation. Some of us are young, some of us are old, some of us are getting older. Yes, this is gray hair. And we are excited. We're excited at the moment. There's so much going on, so much that we are being thankful for, that we are seeing God provide and guide. I've been here in Malawi now for 10 years, and I know that some of my conviction to say that I would call this my home is because of the community that Flood is a part of. I've been challenged in here, I've been encouraged in here, been disciplined in here. Maybe that's not a good word, but it is when it's done in love. I've been shown grace here, but shown joy and connected in here. And I want to encourage us, I want to encourage me to keep connecting. Where can you be a part of what's going on here, the ministry, or the interest groups? There's so many interest groups up there. There's growth groups where we can get in, we can get plugged in, where we feel belonging and being accountable to people and encouraged. Prayer Cafe is tomorrow. We've got our monthly acoustic worship session that will be there, so you can come along to that from 5:30 to 6 if you can make it. We'd love to have you. I have not preached here for a year, but I had the privilege to go to Mazuzu, and it was great to see people there who, when I first, my journey in Malawi started, I was in Mazuzu for about 4 years, and there was people there that had got frustrated with church and with God, and it was great to see and meet them in that community where they felt they could come as they were, as they were. If you're new here this morning, you can catch some of the vision, some of the core ideas that we are believing that we're partnering with Jesus in around here. And you can read, you can come and speak to us. I want to encourage you to get involved. Bring your resources, bring your talents, bring your skills, but most of all, bring the real you. Bring the real you. I felt Jesus was encouraging me, Sam, I want the real you here. I want the real you here. And he's saying the same to you as well. And we can come. Just as we are, not because our faith is perfect, but because he is perfect and he is encouraging us along in this journey together. Encouraging, hey? Amen? So we're going to kick off for a new series today. The title of the series is It Will End in Praise. It Will End in Praise. And it's this whole idea that when we get to the end of ourselves, when we get to that point where we're like, we can't take it anymore, that is where God becomes our beginning, our new beginning, the new creation, the new kingdom that he started when he came as Jesus into this world and is continuing to work out until the day when there will be no more tears and there will be no more pain. So around us at the moment, I don't know about you, but life is hard. Life is tough. There's lots of things that are going on both inside us and around us that's overwhelming. Maybe there's a situation at the moment that's not favorable. It's not in your favor. Maybe there's a want and a desire inside, but it's not being satisfied the way that you feel it should have been. Maybe there's a special connection, that relationship that started to fall apart or show the cracks, or it's not where it should be. There's a pain of a hurt or a loss that is deep. And we often come to that point in those situations where we actually say, it's all going to end in tears. Not praise, but tears. We even put that on other people. When it comes to ourselves, we even put that on other people and we start to say, are you sure you want to start another relationship? Do you remember what happened? Do you want to start that new business in this climate, in this economic situation? Are you sure you want to apply for that school again? We start to put those actions on ourselves, but also on others, and say, in the end, it's all going to end in tears. But we want to remind each other, remind myself this morning, that our hope is secure, that the kingdom that God is building cannot be shaken, that there, in the end, because of our resurrection hope in Jesus, that it will end in praise. So, the passage that we're going to look at today, and the subtitle for today, is it will end in praise because God sticks around. Because God sticks around with you, that he is faithful to you. So I invite you to stand. We are going to read from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. It's on the screen. You can follow with us. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened up through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have the great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance of faith that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled with to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. For he who promised is faithful." Let's say that together. "For he who promised is faithful." It goes on, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Let's pray. Lord, top up of our hearts with your hope this morning. Remind us of your faithfulness, that you will continue to work out good both in us and out of us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may have your seats. So as you said, like it's tough at the moment, and it's not just one thing, is it? Have you noticed that like, it's multiple things at the moment that seem to be compounding on us in this time? So, you know, I often think like, okay, I can manage one of these things on its own if I'm without it. You know, is anyone else like that? Like, okay, if I don't have water for the next couple of days, I can manage that. But if it's also electricity, it's all those things. Is there anyone here that can manage without water for a couple of days if there was one thing you could choose to be without? No, there's shaking heads. Some are shaking. They're probably the more unclean amongst us. No, I'm joking. You're fine. I've got to made you choose one. What about electricity? Who could do without electricity for a few days? Yeah? Yeah, a few of us. Maybe these are the guys not very, you know, on the social media or working. What about fuel? Who could do without some fuel for a couple of days if they could choose? Yeah, a couple of us. Maybe the ones without cars. I don't know. Maybe. Children. Who could do without children for a couple of days? That's a joke, parents. Put your hands down. But it's compounding, isn't it, at the moment? And that's tough. And it starts us to cling on and say, is this actually going to end? Is this actually going to turn out good? Or is it going to end all in tears? That phrase, it all ends in tears. I don't know about you, but it reminds me of when I was a kid. You know, it reminds me of being a kid. And maybe, you know, you're wrestling with, if you're a boy, you know, wrestling with your guy friends. And mom comes through and says, "Be careful, it's all going to end in tears." Or there's that little toy or that little thing that the kids are focused on. And there's only one of them. And you go, it's going to all end in tears. And soon enough, the kid starts to cry. Any tree climbers in here? Or were tree climbers? Maybe you're still a tree climber now, I don't know. Any tree climbers, you know, like to climb trees? You know, those are the kind of things where an adult will be like, hey, calm down. It's going to all end in tears. So I was thinking about a few of the things of maybe when I was a kid, but also as an adult, that brought me to that place of when it all ended in tears. And the first one I want to share with you is embarrassing for me, but it might be a bit of embarrassing for you also to hear it. But that's okay, I'm going to share it anyway. And it was when I was seven, okay? It was when I was seven, I was in primary school, and we just came in, and we you know, we just walked past the boys' lavatories, and there was a sign on it: closed, do not use. Now you have to remember, at that time, myself, I was a very obedient guy. Okay, I was like, if an adult said anything or someone that was in authority, I would be like, okay, I'm gonna do it. So I was like, oh wow, okay. I mean, I know some of you are smiling now, like, are you still like that? Maybe a bit more cheeky now than I was then. But then, that's fundamentally who I was. And so I went through today and I was like, I can't go. I'm not going to be able to go to the toilet. The boys' one is closed. I was thinking, oh, what about the girls' ones? Oh, no, I've been told, you know, only the girls can go in the girls' ones. So I'm going to have to wait. So I wait. Lunch goes through. Mid-afternoon. And I am desperate. And literally, as a seven-year-old me just gets to the point where he can't hold it anymore. Tears fall from here, wet here, but also wet down here. Not great. And I cry out in the drama kid that I was, I can't hold it anymore. All the kids are like, whoa, okay, this is extreme. Another example, less embarrassing, I guess. Was when I was on a bike, and we were going for a bike ride with some of my friends. I was the youngest in my class, the youngest in my year. A lot of my friends were a year, 2 years older, and I was struggling to keep up. Came to this big hill, and I was out of it. I had had enough. I was about 12, and I was just like, I got to the end, and I just like threw the bike on the floor and said, I can't take it anymore. You're getting the theme here, a bit of a dramatic kid, yeah? And my friends were like, whoa, again, like, this guy, you know, like, this is, just calm down a bit. This is only a bike ride. And then, okay, into my adult years and, you know, the pressures, the expectations. And this one's a bit more real, a bit more vulnerable. But finding myself in tears on the bathroom floor because I'm overwhelmed with anxiety. I'm overwhelmed with what's going on around me, the loss of people that I loved. And we're connected with, and feeling that loss, feeling that deepness, and just crying out. And instead of saying those other things, just saying, I can't go on anymore. I can't go on anymore. So I don't know what you were crying this morning, what cry you have. Maybe it's the cry of, I can't hold on any longer. I've been trying down this road. I've been saying and doing everything that I feel that people are expecting me, but also God is expecting of me. And this person is still sick, or this situation is not resolved, or this business has collapsed and I put my effort into it and it's just not worked out. Maybe you're one of the ones that is saying, I can't take it anymore. It's nothing to do with your fault. Maybe it's the economy. It's the prices that are rising. Maybe it's the political fights that are going on right now, or even the war that's going on that you have no control of, and it's impacting the situation that you're finding yourself in. Maybe you're desperate at the moment. Maybe it's overwhelming. The expectations on you have got to that point of saying, can I really go on? Is this going to still all end in tears? So whatever you're screaming today, we want to encourage you, encourage myself, that God is our hope. That God is not just a dead hope, a thing that we can just pluck on and just say, this is positivity, this is just my thinking, but this God is alive and he reigns in heaven already. He already has a plan already. He's already said, hold on, I'm with you now, but I have a plan for where this is going, that he is stuck around with you, that he is faithful, that he is going to maybe clean up like that teacher did after that episode that came, sorted me out, gave me some dry clothes, and restored me back to the class. Maybe that's the God that you are looking for right now in your situation. Or is it the friend that, after that bit of a drama that went on, said, okay, I know it's tough right now, but I'm going to cycle alongside with you. We're going to go together. Maybe that's the God that you need, the friend that you need this morning. Or is it the comforter, the one that can come and just sit on that bathroom floor with you, in tears, just listening, and that presence is enough to say, that fear can go. That anxiety will end. Is there anyone here that is a fan of Black Panther or the Marvel movies? Yeah, is there any Wakanda Forevers? Anyone? Yeah, a few people. It's coming out soon, the second one. I'm quite excited by it. And they just released it, a few of the songs that are going with that as well. And one of these songs just really resonated with this kind of topic of the God that stays with us in that moment, but also has that plan that is getting in praise. And I'll just say the words very quickly. It says, "Lift me up, hold me down, keep me close, safe and sound. Lift me up, hold me down, keep me close, safe and sound." There's another line in the verse that says, "Burning with a hopeless dream." And okay, I'm no R&B expert. I'm not going to, you know, suddenly drop some bars on the stage right here. I wanted to be a rapper at one point, like as a kid. But yeah, I'm not going there. But I'll probably change those words. I'll probably change those words. And I would say, singing with a hopeful reality. Because the reality we have is a reality that is full of hope, that our hope is alive, that we rest on this resurrected Jesus, that it's not just hopelessness. It's not just a positive thinking, but he is faithful. Faithful to the end that he came out from the grave, but then he also said he's going to return. And that's going to be a moment when there is no more tears and it will be turned all into praise. So let's go back to the passage together. I just want to draw out three truths quickly just to that focus on this point of why it's going to turn, or that show us that it will turn into praise, not tears. And the first one, on that first verse, verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters." I want to stop there. Therefore. If someone puts "therefore" in that, there's something before, isn't there? There's something that happened before. We're in chapter 10 here. I encourage you to go away, read it, but it's a great way to look at how does Jesus fit into the whole story, the whole backstory of this people that God has chosen and has chosen to be faithful to through the end. They messed up, they went through stages of so much faithlessness, and it's not a word, don't worry, don't look at the dictionary, just made it up. Maybe that's what I should do with my next rap. Yeah, you can make up words in it. No, okay. But God's faithful to his people. It wasn't the angels. If you go through Hebrews, it starts to talk about angels, like, or people that are messengers from God. It's not them that's the authority. It's this Jesus that I'm talking about. It's not the law. The law wasn't enough to bring us to a place of praise. Moses, the interceder for God's people, and the priests were not the end. They even had to make sacrifices for themselves. Yeah? So they were not the end that was going to lead to this praise. But God made himself human, both the sacrifice and the praise, and the priest. What I've been doing at the moment, and I think I found it's really useful, and I encourage you to do this when you're reading the Bible together or trying, but to zoom out. Particularly at times like this, we like to focus in on our favorite verses, don't we? The ones that we can just grab, the little lines we're like, yeah, that's great, that's working for me today. But I've been encouraged to make sure you look at the whole picture. What is the whole picture of what God is doing in the story of this life that we are living right now? And one of the examples that really changed my view on this was the story of Gideon. So you know Gideon? He has this story where he asks God and says, okay, if this is what you're actually saying, and if I can trust what you're going to say, I'm going to put this fleece out. If it's moist, or you know, if it's dry, then I'm going to agree to go on and do what you say. Now, if we just take that, and I've done this as well, it sounds almost like a formula, doesn't it? Like a formula for the things we want, okay? Lord, if, you know, I think that girl might be the one for me. If they come into church and they're wearing red, I will know, you know? Or just, you know, just little things like that. We can start to have that relationship with that. But let's zoom out. Let's go back to the Gideon story. How does this story fit in? It starts with God appearing to Gideon in a place and saying, look, I know you're the weakest of your tribe and everything. And he's like, yeah, I am the weakest. I'm not going to do this. Like, how can I do this? He wasn't trusting what God had said about him. Go on to the next little bit in Judges where it talks about him being told to cut down the idols, like these big things that have been erected up from families and generations, to go and cut them down. But he didn't do it in the day. He did it at night. Did it in the secret because he didn't quite trust what God had said to him. If we go further on, there's this whole story about how the number of army and soldier that he's got gets put down smaller and smaller and smaller. But really, God had already told him at the start, like, we need it this tiny. if we're going to see what's going to happen. So Gideon was not trusting the word from the start. So if we put the fleeces back into that story, what is that story really about? It's about Gideon not trusting God. He's not trusting God with what he'd said. But the flip side, what's the flip side of that? It's that God is still faithful with us through that process, through that progress, that journey with him. So remember today that even if your faith is imperfect, like mine is imperfect, we come to Jesus whose faith, who is the faith and is the perfect person before us. And he can use faithless people like us. Thank you, God. Second one, let's move on. So it says, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. This journey in life, as we said, is about an imperfect humans like us following the only perfect human that has ever lived. I've been trying to focus on it the last few years. God's really challenged me on this and to making sure that, yes, I see Jesus as fully divine, fully God, but don't negate that he was also fully human. He had physical needs. He had emotional needs. He had psychological needs. He even breathed the same air that we are breathing now. Now, the air on the earth circulates, doesn't it? It goes round. So it got me thinking, and this other guy that was a lot more clever than me, probably a lot cleverer than us, worked out a math theory. And some of you might think where I'm going with this, but he went to the question, the air I'm breathing, is there any molecules in there that Jesus, if he was alive, if he was real, was also breathing? And he worked out. So let's just take a deep breath in. And out. That's a trillion or some 2 trillion something molecules that you've just breathed in. This guy worked out that because of Jesus, how long he lived, how many breaths he might have taken, he went really logical and assumption with it, and how many liters of lung that he might have had on average. And he said, okay, each breath you breathe now, likelihood has 645 molecules out of a few trillion that were also breathed by Jesus. Crazy, crazy, every breath. That Jesus was human. So if we take this even further and just go back to those stories and think about when Jesus walked on earth, he cried, he wept, he did have tears, he had moments of the things that we go through, and that he is the person that we can relate to, and he relates to us. And I find that really powerful in the situations that we find ourselves in, that we can go to that. So think of the loss of Lazarus, his friend. He wept. Has anyone else on social media seen those videos and those TikTok things where it's like, let's skip to the good part? Yeah, have you heard that one? Yeah. Well, he didn't. In this moment, he didn't skip to the good part. He knew the good part was coming, but he didn't skip to it. He stepped into that moment, felt that loss of the loved one, and then stepped into what God was going to do and was going to raise him from, and it was going to turn into praise. But then I have to think again. Lazarus still died. What hope is that? What hope is that? We go on in the story, obviously Jesus also died. He wept in the garden, he wanted out. He said, why have you forsaken me? And the disciples, you can imagine them going, we had this hope in this Messiah, we thought this was it. And then our hope was shattered. But Jesus died, he went into the depths of hopelessness. He went into the depths of our disappointment and that feeling that it is all gonna end in tears. And then he rose again. And this is why we can still say that it will end in praise, because of that resurrection hope. The last little truth that I want to bring out here, and it's on the screen as well, is from that last little bit in the first few verses where it says, since we have a great priest over the house of God. What is the house of God? What are the priests? Where is that? That is Jerusalem. That's the temple. What is that an image of? You're going through a Hebrew kind of way of thinking. That was the Eden. That's the picture of Eden. Going back right to the beginning. And I didn't realize this, but Adam and Eve were actually the first priests. They were the first priests. They were the ones there to look over the land, to have the image of God. What is the image of God? The authority, the the be able to work out in that creation the goodness of what God is about. And that's what the Adam and Eve were the first priest. But here we're saying that they obviously messed up. We needed a greater priest than ourselves, than the humanity in ourselves that we give because of all the choices we've made. One of the things through this as well, when you talk about the story of Eden, what was the Eden? It was a garden, wasn't it? Now, I've got a patch of land. I don't know if some of you have also got some land that you've maybe been working on. What's the first thing you do with that land? You mark it out, don't you? You mark the barriers, the line where it's finished. And one of the things that's encouraged me, not just through my faith work, but through my mental health struggles and things, is this promise that God, in the beginning, he said, I'm setting boundaries. Dark to light, I'm setting boundaries here, and the darkness will not overcome it. So in those darkest times, I'm starting to reset my mind and say, okay, this might last for a few hours, this might last for a few days, but I know that this anxiety will end. If we extrapolate that out to the world at the moment, there's war, there's pandemics. Yes, they're not going to probably be solved very quickly, but there's this element of saying that actually God is still in control. So God has set limits to these things that are happening in our lives, and he is a good God. What does he say about lines and boundaries in the Psalms? It talks about setting the boundaries in good and pleasant lines. Thank you, Lord, for setting the pleasant lines in my world. It might feel like there's scrub land in between. It might feel dry at the mean, but you've put those almost like fire breaks around to limit this, to say that it still will end in praise, not in tears. So that's good, Sam. Thank you for that. That's great. But at the moment, my hope tank is feeling low. Maybe it's not just your other tank, but your hope tank is quite low at the moment. So how can we be encouraged? What things can we do and take action to try and encourage us to top up our levels of hope in these situations? Let's go back to the verses. First little bit, it says, the commentator or the preacher is saying, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled and cleansed us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. God is not against you. God is for you. He has put those lines in pleasant places, and you have been forgiven. You are not forsaken. He has put those places where you can dwell, and those green pastures now, but also in the age to come. Again, your faith does not have to be perfect in the middle of that. It can't be. But put it on the one who is perfect. What's the second encouragement from these verses? Let us hold unswervingly, to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We have to hold on to the hope. We have to hold on to the promise. What is the promise? Is there any last promise that you could hold on to? If you forgot all the others find hard. The promise of the resurrection of Christ. Without that, we have no faith. We have no reason for you to be here this morning. There's no reason for me to be speaking right now. If Christ is still dead, if he has not ascended, then there is no hope. It will end in tears. But our hope is that he is there, that he has come to that self. We have to preach these things to ourselves, that the resurrection hope is available for us to stand now, but also stand in the time to come. What's the last one? The last one, I think it's verse 24. It talks about, let us consider how to spur on one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more, and see this day approaching. This speaks for itself, I think, but isn't it true? We need each other to be encouraged. In this time, we can often feel like isolating, going around just saying, I just need to bear with what's going on. But we do need to be in those spaces where we can encourage others, but also be encouraged by them. The word for encouragement here is to stir up, actually. It's not just to say, you're doing great, but it's actually to stir up, to ask the deeper questions, to ask the things that are maybe not going so well, and how does that look in the sense and the place of Christ who is resurrected? How does that look? The other day, one of the interest groups I'm part of, is the workout and exercise. Yeah, I know it's not working that much, but I'm keep trying. But one of the things he said, okay, we're working our bodies hard right now, but the guy was saying, let's work our faith a bit hard as we meet together right now. Like, let us just count 10 things. 10 things, little or small, however it is, that we can be grateful for. And let's pray about those for a minute. So for 10 minutes, we just prayed. And it was really powerful. I thought, actually, yeah, well, the things I've been focusing on, yes, there are all these things going on, but there's things I can be grateful for now, but also grateful about what is to come. So the band is going to lead us in one more song today. And in this closing time, I want us to remember that we can draw close. We can draw in. That you, every single person here, has been given that authority and that permission and that joy to come into the presence of God right now. You can speak out that living hope, that resurrection hope. If you're struggling even with that kind of thought, I encourage you, go to the Word. Find out the Word. Ask questions. Dig deeper. Because that Jesus was alive, and he is alive now after the grave. Stir up your hearts with this hope. For it is a good ending that we're heading to. It is a good ending, and it will end in praise. Let's stand, let's pray, and let's just have one more song that we can sing to God. Father God, thank you that you are good. Thank you that you have always been drawing the limits around us. The limits of good boundaries, of pleasant things, Lord. And it feels chaos at the moment, but you've said there's going to be a point, there's going to be a place where that is drawn, that you are good and you will do it and it will end in praise. So Jesus, we come to you. We come with our tears, just as you shed those tears. And we say, Lord, we can come to you, our living hope, resurrection hope, that you know what we're going through now, but you also know what is to come. So